Today's scripture reading comes from John 20, which can be found on page 945 in your pew Bibles. I'm going to be reading a little bit more of the text than originally planned. I'm going to be reading from John 20, 11 through 31. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting there. The body of Jesus had lain one end at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my God and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails in the place, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Today, we find the disciples locked in a room. They must be asking themselves how this could have happened. I imagine they retraced their steps in their mind, saying, "Where did we go wrong?" Perhaps they looked with remorse upon the scene in the garden when each and every one of them ran away. They probably thought with regret about how they allowed Judas to leave the Passover early without stopping him. I bet Peter replayed over and over in his mind the rooster crowing after he denied Jesus the third time in a row. Mary Magdalene had just come preaching the resurrection to the disciples, saying she thought he was a gardener, but really the teacher is alive. We know from the Gospel of Luke that the disciples did not believe this first Christian. They thought her words were complete and utter nonsense and wondered at Peter's report that all he could find in the tomb was a strip of linen. This makes the scene at the locked room even worse. Not only are they hiding from the authorities while the sins of their past haunt them, but they also have to deal with a delusional Christian proclaiming, "Christ is risen." The problem here seems to be the lack of a body. If Christ is risen indeed, why is Christ not here? Where is the physical evidence? I bet some of the disciples even may have thought to themselves, if Christ has risen, he probably would not come here, because we abandoned him in his moment of suffering. What greater sin could we have committed? It is in this moment, when all hope is lost, that Jesus does indeed appear. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." In the moment of self-doubt, self-loathing, guilt, and fear, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." After showing them his wounds, Jesus gives them the authority, saying, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Jesus empowers them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." However, the story is still not over, because Thomas missed this moment in history. Thomas still carries the weight of grief and guilt, rejecting the stories that are told to him by the disciples. It is only when Jesus gives Thomas the opportunity to feel the actual wounds in Jesus' body that Thomas believes. Thomas needed more than just a spiritual manifestation of Christ's risen state. Thomas needed to feel the flesh, the physical reality of the resurrected Christ before he would believe, before he could believe. It is with this story in mind that I ask each and every one of you, what rooms are you locked in right now? Perhaps some of us are locked in rooms of grief, mourning something or someone who we have lost recently or many years ago. Perhaps some of us are locked in rooms of fear. We may be uncertain of the future. Maybe we wonder how it is that we got ourselves in such a position where the future feels fragile and hopeless. Perhaps life feels like it has no meaning for you. I've had times where I've wondered about the purpose of everything that I was doing and what I was trying to do and where I was trying to go. It is possible to get locked in a room of regrets, wondering, where have I gone wrong? Why did I not do something differently? Or perhaps you feel locked in a room of a less extreme character. Maybe you feel locked in a room of the mundane, where everything feels typical, everything feels stable and predictable. Maybe life has lost its flavor for you and you wonder how to make it exciting again. These rooms and others can leave us wondering, how did I get here? Is there any hope? Where do I go from here? Am I special or important? These rooms can leave us thinking that we are not special and we certainly are not valuable. We can think that we are undeserving of anything better because of our past. We hide away in these rooms because if we leave them, we might lose something important. For the disciples, it was their lives, and what is it for us? Perhaps we remain in grief because if we stop grieving, we might forget how much this person really meant to us. We remain in fear because taking a risk may mean the destruction of something precious we worked to build. We remain in a place of regret because we want to learn from our mistakes, and feeling bad about our past reminds us that there was a past to learn from. We once believed in a Messiah who would not allow us to go into these rooms of despair, just like the disciples. But many of us have seen the crucifixion of our God. We believed our self-worth in God's sight, but we have been put down for too long. We believed in a God of healing, but our friends have died. We believed in a God who would vindicate us in risk-taking, but we were left impoverished. We believed in a forgiving God, but we have received no forgiveness, or we still feel guilty after repenting. At some specific time, a cry rang out in our minds, "It is finished!" And the guardian of some aspect of our souls perished. But we sit in the pews today because somebody did for us what Mary Magdalene did for the disciples. Somebody came to us and said, "I have seen the Lord." Do you feel like the waters in Genesis 1? "Well, I have seen the Lord, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters." Do you feel like the slaves in the land of Egypt? "Well, I have seen the Lord, and God has heard their cry and come down to rescue them." Do you feel untouchable and leprous? "Well, I have seen the Lord, and he says, I am willing, be healed." Do you feel like a valley of dry bones? "Well, I have seen the Lord, and the sovereign Lord says, I will make breath enter you and come to life." Do you feel like the disciples who locked themselves in a room? Well, I have seen the Lord, and he says, peace be with you. These words from Jesus were not merely a greeting. They were an affirmation. The disciples must have been afraid when they saw Jesus. They had abandoned him at his most desperate hour. They refused to believe Mary Magdalene, his messenger, that he was alive. And if ever there was an occasion for God to be angry, it was with Jesus' disciples right now. But Jesus comes and he says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Friends, once we realize that we are locked in a room, the first step in coming out is realizing who you are, where you stand with Jesus, who is calling you forth. Peace be with you. I still love you. You are still made in my image. You are still capable. You are still worthy. And I send you out. Now, Thomas missed this event. When told about it, he said, it would take putting his fingers in Christ's hands, and his hand in Christ's side. Just as all the disciples disbelieved Mary Magdalene, so Thomas disbelieved the disciples. One of the difficulties of delivering the gospel is that often the words of hope and redemption are not enough. People have seen the death of the objects of their hope and dare not to hope again. They cannot believe ephemeral words without substantiation. People need to feel the marks of victory and see the renewal of possibility once again to have hope. Christ does not rebuke Thomas for needing to see the resurrected body, but says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And indeed, those who do not need to see the resurrection physically and yet believe must be blessed. Because once one has seen enough garbage in this life, it is near impossible to embrace an invisible hope. These observations leave us all with a new question. Where is the resurrected Christ today? Has not Christ descended into heaven? Must billions of people live without hope because Christ has ascended? 1 Corinthians 12 says, you are the body of Christ. Each of you are a part of it. Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. Ephesians 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Friends, we have all suffered various kinds of death, but we have been made alive in Christ. The death of Christ was not some metaphorical event or symbolic action, but a physical manifestation of God's love for us. And so too was Christ's resurrection. This resurrection was not merely some past event played out in the life of Christ. The book of John says, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples. The signs of the resurrection are the good deeds performed in the world. And Jesus, John says, these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. If the signs of Jesus' resurrection are the good deeds which he performed in the world, then the sign of our resurrection in Christ are the good deeds that we perform in the world. As Paul says, we are slaves to righteousness. Christ's resurrection is embodied in us who are God's people, who have been resurrected from bodies of sin, as Corinthians says, made new creations. When Thomas said, I need to put my finger in his hands and my hand in his side, Jesus permitted it. So when the world needs to see the physical manifestation of Christ in the world, may we act it out in our lives. May we be the embodied resurrection of Christ in our world today. Christ is risen. And may we evidence Christ risen in us.